How many of you are thankful that God gave you brain? Our brain is divided up in many sections, and we don't have time basically for this class to cover all of it, but there are some very important parts. Scientists are finding out, medical discoveries, that there are certain portions of our mind that determine moral issues. There are others that have to do with the emotional issues. There are others that just store data. There's others that are cold cognizance, like remembering telephone numbers, things like that. There are other parts that have a program written in them, a software program that God put in every person that's alive that knows right from wrong. It used to be on table of stones, but God said to the prophets that he would write it in flesh. The day came when the Lord transferred it by his Spirit, and every soul that is born on earth has locked in them a brain. So think of your brain as a computer. A computer is worthless without software. And so if you think of software, you will think a software needs to be used in some way or another. Some software is already built in. Some software has to be put in to a computer in order for it to operate. And they have some real smart stuff out there now, real smart software, that if you just put a microphone on your computer, you can speak to it and it will type all by itself and write and do what you want it to do just by voice recognition and voice commands. And so you don't have to bother with inputting from a keyboard. So a computer is capable of receiving information from several sources, from what we call a little mouse, which is a pointer with a couple click buttons on it that determine where you want what done, on a screen that has like little windows, pop-up windows or any other kind of windows with words on them that when you click on them, you're giving it click commands. Also, your computer is capable of receiving through a keyboard and getting its input and its directions, and it doesn't have its own mind. It can't do what it wants to do. It's just there waiting to serve you. But it's waiting for inputs. It can do nothing until you give it an input, whether it's from a mouse or whether it's from a keyboard or whether it's from voice commands through a microphone or whatever it is. There's many other ways. It can receive input via a scanner. It can receive input in many different ways from a camera or anything else. However, we do have a brain that doesn't think on its own. It just waits for information to tell it what to do. God gave us, we're all born with a brain. God did not just give us a computer. If people sold computers and sold no software at all, what could you do with it besides make it a doorstop? It would be worthless. Your brain is worthless without software. If you sat there and had a keyboard and had a mouse and had a scanner and had a voice recognition microphone and had everything we've just described, it would still be worthless. This brain cannot function without software. A computer has two types of software. One is running software, they call operating system, OS. The other part is something even more simple than that. It's a chip, they call the BIOS chip. It's a chip that has imprinted in it certain information. It's a software printed in there that you can do nothing with. You can't write to it. You can if you know what you're doing. But the factory imprints in it certain information so that when you push the button to turn it on, it already knows it's supposed to turn on. It's supposed to go to this. It's supposed to look for a hard drive. It's supposed to get its information off, download its own software, and blah, 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 until you get the thing up and running. It has all that information in there, the clock information, the month information, all the time and thoughts information. Everything it needs is burned onto that ROM, read-only memory. That chip has something in there that's already programmed, and it cannot deviate from that unless it is rewritten. And only the factory can rewrite it or someone that really knows what they're doing. But for the most part, none of us human beings, Homo sapiens, can do anything about that chip that's recorded inside of us. One of those chips that's recorded inside of us was planted in one of the areas of our brain that knows right from wrong. It knows woundedness from wholeness. It knows the difference from one and another. Then God took another portion of our brain, a little almond-sized shape, one called the amygdala part of the brain, and he programmed in there fear. And it gave it the capability of connecting with a part of our brain, the frontal cortex, which makes the information available for us to make a decision, a right kind of decision. It connects up with it because it is capable of weighing in the balance what the consequences or the judgment or punishment will be for any given action that we do. So, if the part of our brain which is already stamped and already registers in it that law of God, that sense of what is right and what is wrong, you can override it if you want to. You can have a pop-up screen telling you that this is what you need to do, and you can override it. One of the famous ones built into the software by Microsoft is automatic updates. If you don't have it, every time you boot up your computer might be compromised if you don't automatically update. Now, you can override that and tell it, you know, just be gone. And it'll be gone. Next time you turn the computer on, it's going to be there again. And you can override it, but it knows right from wrong. It knows that there is continuous viruses coming in that are going to plague your computer. It wants to update itself to protect itself. God has put into us, written into us, software of certain kinds. I don't want to call it fear, but caution. They're like a caution light. You know, before you jump out of a 10-story building, something inside of you is going to get really excited in your brain. And it's going to let you know that the consequences for that may even be death. And it's going to weigh all this thing out, and all these little flash pop-up things are going to come up on your screen in your brain. It's going to start feeding information to all of it. You know, danger, 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 danger. Don't jump off of this high floor. However, if you have the high-rise burning up behind you, and it's either death by fire or it's death by jump, and I see a tree down there that might break my fall, all that information is being computed at the same time inside my brain, and it's weighing the consequences of one thing versus another, and it says, okay, the better of the worse is this. Bang, let's do it. And then it sends the information to the other part of the brain that makes the decisions and makes things happen. It's the command and control center. And so God has designed our brain in such a way, such a beautiful way, that it is capable of doing all these things. But before the Lord ever created us and let us be born enough to even move one muscle or do anything, he put a ROM chip, the BIOS, inside of our brain that's capable of knowing right from wrong, that can judge the consequences or not of everything we do. But he also put a little part in the backside of our brain, and I call it, you know, the backside of our brain because that's what I'd like to do it. That's why they call it the frontal cortex. A frontal is the front part of your head, and there's two sides of our brain, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but then there's the frontal cortex, there's the medial cortex, and there's the one behind it underneath that's the anterior cortex. And so that means that there's three layers on the front side of your brain, and then there's some on the back side of your brain, each which does different things. Some of it is imprinted into you so that you don't have to sleep all night telling yourself, breathe now, exhale now, inhale now, heartbeat, heart stop beating, heartbeat again, left ventricle, squeeze, right ventricle, intake. You know, you'd go crazy if you had to be giving all these commands. Aren't you glad God imprinted a chip inside your brain that just does all that? And just as a backup, because some of this stuff is so important, he imprinted another chip on the mind of your heart. So your actual heart knows all of that. It's got its own electrical system. It's got its own system, its own meridian. It's got everything it needs to do. Now, I don't want to go too close into this, but for some reason, I'm needing to give you a basis. You need to understand this once again. I need to bring this back to you so that I can teach you the Word of God. We need to understand that God imprinted things in us, and thank God that He did. Thank God that He did. As you begin to get information, it begins to override other information. Let me give you some parts that weren't imprinted by God and were meant to be imprinted by life. In other words, you write into it. That's the software that you can write into and change. That's the software that people write. You know, all the software that you're enjoying today, someone sat down and either wrote it in one code or in another code or whatever. They have all kinds of languages that they write in that we don't go into right now, but they actually write programs that you can use. Well, there's a part called the thalamus. The thalamus is a part of the brain, anterior part at the very back of your head that's lodged in there, and its purpose in life is to collect information like from a keyboard, from a mouse, from a microphone, from whatever, and it collects the senses. Now, what is the mouse to our brain, and what is the keyboard to our brain and all this? That's your five senses. It collects the smells and stores them and then sends it to the frontal cortex so that it can memorize it and store it, which it does at night very conveniently because we're not feeding more information into it. It's got a memory, just like you have a memory on your computer, which is an immediate memory, and it just stores a bunch of stuff in there. And then at night, it puts it on the hard drive, permanent. It stores it all, catalogs it all, finds it all where it belongs, and stores it. What the thalamus does is every time you give it a new point of information, a new income, it goes back and sees what's stored back there. And so the thalamus responds to all of our senses, what you're smelling, what you're hearing, what you're seeing. And that is why when it does that, it immediately sends, like let's say I smell a certain particular flower, it will go in there faster than you can think, fast as light. It goes back there, goes through all the things, just like a hard drive or faster yet, and it will find the fact that that smell and a rose is what you've got. So it will immediately pop up an image, a name. It's got it all filed, all cataloged. It's all there. So now you know that what you're smelling is a rose. And that is supposed to be a good smell. So it prepares all your emotions. It prepares all the rest of your body to have a moment of enjoyment. In fact, because it's been programmed already, it can even anticipate something. If you see, it can anticipate now through sight because it receives all its signals through sight. Let's just say that the smell is a keyboard, but now the mouse is giving it information here. It can see. It can see that over there, it's like a little camera on the computer. It's now by sight. It's receiving by sight or a scanner. And so it sees a rose over there in the vase. You know what it's going to tell you? Pleasant experience, pleasant experience, pleasant experience, pleasant experience. So what do? It actually makes us walk across the room over there to get this little what? Pleasant experience. Why? Because it is predicting based on past experiences that this is a pleasurable experience. And so it's going to make you move your body. It's going to send all the signals down for you to walk across that room and take a big, deep what? Sniff. And go, well, this one isn't as nice as the one before. So you take a good look at it. Oh, it's a blue rose, okay? So from now on, you just chucked into your memory that blue roses and pleasant experiences aren't exactly right. However, it puts it in a mild pleasant experience because a blue rose is still nice to look at. So it does have some nice things. Now, one day, you're riding along like we did one day on a horse, and this horse comes to a dead stop and acts like a mule suddenly. It just does not want to move. It wasn't until a minute later, till we forced this thing to move, that we realized why it had stopped. Because this brain was already programmed to go through there, and that meant unpleasant experience. And all we saw was a little sign that said SP. I didn't know that that was sewer treatment plant. And it smelled like it when we got to the right place. Now, this little horse was trying to anticipate avoiding an unpleasant experience. Because his little thalamus was telling him, unpleasant, 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 unpleasant. So everything about it, it wasn't telling him to walk across the room and enjoy the nature. We were in there enjoying all the trees and everything, and this thing was like a donkey. You know, he's like, I'm not moving. I'm not going through there. I know what that is. That's unpleasant. Why? Because he was anticipating. We hadn't gotten there yet, or I would have smelled it. I got a good smeller. In fact, we have such a good smell that it doesn't just have to do with smells. We can even smell a rat. We can smell something coming before it comes. Why? Because our brain is putting all this stuff together. Our brain is like something looking for trouble or looking for good things all the time. Most people look and anticipate things. I don't even want to go into the drug thing and all the rest. People do violent things, crazy things to get that one little moment of pleasure. And so what happens is that our thalamus that's connected to our senses, I call it backwards. I call it the backstage one because it is the one that has to, it's the part of our brain that has to do with gathering all the information that's pertinent to this world. Now, this world is a lower world. This world is a bad world. This world is a world you're not going to be in very long. This world is very temporary at most, very temporary. And this world has nothing to do with where you're going to spend most of eternity, including with a brand new body just like you've got now, except without the conditions of sin and sorrow and death and sickness and the capability of that. It's got perfect immune system, perfect design in your chromosomes. All to say is that that part of your brain has to do with this world. But there is a flaw in the system that God invented that way, that God made that way. And that is that if you are thalamus dominant, you're going to have serious troubles in life because the memory that it has is so intact. You know, when you say, oh my, I wished I could remember something, it can always remember. It never has a senior moment. It never has temporary amnesia. It never has any kind of amnesia. It just has perfect recall all the time at light speed. This is what happens when we are thalamus dominant rather than frontal cortex dominant. The frontal cortex dominant takes all the material, it categorizes it, and it rather coldly sifts through everything and decides what's better and what's worse and whatever, but it doesn't respond or react or make you do anything. Let's just say for a minute that when you were a little child, your parents, now divorced, he got drunk one day and he beat the living daylights out of your mother, and you were living through all that. And you were screaming, "No, Daddy, no, Daddy, no, Daddy," and he starts beating up on you. The thalamus has taken all that in. It knows that when somebody raises its voice, trouble's coming on. It knows that when somebody walks and he doesn't walk too straight, that means trouble's on the way. He knows that when somebody gets rigid and starts closing fists, that's trouble on the way. He knows that when there's arguments and the voice starts getting stronger and stronger, we're in trouble here already. Why? Because the thalamus records and remembers every incident of pain in our life. It records the pain, but it doesn't just give it to the frontal cortex to categorize and keep in the general memory banks of our bank. It hangs on to it itself. Now listen to this. This is what the thalamus part of the brain does. Because it keeps a memory, it uses it as a filter. If you so much as say something that someone once 30 years ago said to me to really hurt me, and boy, did I hurt over that. For 2 months, I hurt over what they said to me. I went through pain like you wouldn't believe. Now, here's this person that just begins to say the same thing, and I'm hurt with them, and I'm shut down. Right now, my mind is telling me, shut down to this person, close your heart to them, stiffen up, either run away or whatever, because the thalamus is sending a signal to the frontal cortex of our mind saying, fight or flight. Fight or flight. Fight or flight. It's not giving the frontal cortex the right information. It's not giving it all the information it's perceiving so it can judge it, catalog it, reason it out, and say, no, this isn't too bad. This person is not that person. Besides, that one was black, this one's white, or that one was a man, and this one's a woman. No, it's not the same situation. Just listen to them out. They're not the one bringing this pain to you. This is a new situation. This isn't the same one happening over. It doesn't do that. It hijacks the one that's supposed to make the decisions, does it on its own, and you have what you call a reaction. The thalamus can react immediately so fast that out of your mouth it comes before you can stop it. And sometimes you have to worry about what you just said. Because it's not thinking. Because if it had put the information up to the frontal cortex, it's thinking. It's saying, no, you know, don't make a fool of yourself right now. This is not necessary. A reaction like that is not necessary. Let me act. Okay? And I'm going to tell them. When I'm acting and when I'm reasoning and when I let the high part of my mind, which has to do with my spirit, my heart, with God, with what He's written in it, with what I know to be right and wrong, and the one that's connected with all the rest of my brain that has all the memory banks filled up with God's word, with God's programming and software and all the rest, and can make a legitimate right judgment for my lifestyle coming up next, it hijacks the information and doesn't let it act. Because if it would have let it act, it would have said, did what you just say mean this, this, and this? No. Were you really trying to hurt me by what you were just doing? No. Oh, well, this was so similar to what happened to me 5 years ago. Let's take someone that has a parent that verbally abused you for many years. From then on, your thalamus is going to hijack any person that has to correct you in any way, has to say anything that has to do with authority, or that has anything to do with a father figure, or anything, even God. If God starts talking a little bit rough, you shut down. Fight or flight, fight or flight. The thalamus will say it about 3 times, and if something doesn't happen, it's going to do it, period. People will go into rages on somebody. They'll go off on them, we say. Why? That's the thalamus. Because the thalamus is connected to our senses, to our emotions, to everything else. And so if it sees that what's happening right now was what happened to me 5 years ago, I'm not going to hurt that way again. I'm going to shut down. Either I'm not listening, talk to the hand. And sometimes if I feel it's violent enough, my hand's not even around. I'm not listening. And if I'm in a car going 80 miles an hour down the road and I can't jump out because the other part of my brain that knows right from wrong and weighs the consequences say, if you jump out, you're minced meat out here. So then I just shut down with a curtain. And I'm not even hearing the voice that's already yelling at me by then because I'm not listening. No, I'm not listening. Flight instincts. You're hurting me. You're hurting me. How did I do that? because the thalamus receives input from our natural earthly emotions and remembers things, but doesn't always remember it right because it's not the part that judges right from wrong. Whereas the frontal cortex, what it's supposed to do is hand the information to the frontal cortex that has its ties to all this other software and can make the right decisions for my life and can make the right decisions of how to act at that moment, which wouldn't demand flight or fight. You say something to somebody and you just, you push their button. You push their button. You know what the button is? The thalamus. You just push the button. That's full, chuck full of memories of what 10,000 other people did to them. You were just a drop in the bucket, and now the bucket's just gushing all over. Why? Because a grenade just went off inside the bucket. The bucket and the water and everything else, you're thinking, oh my God, what did I do? You didn't. People who receive information into their life from past pain, the thalamus remembers the past pain. And anything that's anything similar to that brokenness or anything else, it ties it together and reacts. The thalamus can even contact the part of my life to bring foreboding fears and all these things in our life. There's a part that can understand all of these things, and they get depressed, they open up to the devil. I often say that the thalamus is the devil's territory. Why? Because that's our earthly life. That's our emotion. Have you noticed that some people are emotional based? Those are people who have not matured enough to get out of their thalamus life into their frontal cortex life. Those are the ones that instead of going by right counsel, godly counsel, God's word, the right thing, things people say to you and believe them, they go by what they see. Now let me say something to you today, and that is that the fears and forebodings, there's a part of your brain that locks onto that, and the thalamus can sometimes reach over there and touch it, and you're in trouble if it does. Let me put it this way. Let's just say that you go and you get an exam. They find that you have, well, there's a person not far from here, a person actually that we know that has a problem right now in their body, and this problem can suggest in a way, although it's not proved, it hasn't been tested, it hasn't been anything, but it proves that it's the same thing happening to them that happened to their father who died of cancer of the same thing. So now they've got cancer. They're fighting with the devil on a major turn because the thalamus reached over. It lived through the pain of the death of a father from cancer of that thing. Let's just say colon cancer. And now that I've got colon problems of some sort, I've got cancer, I'm going to die, and all that I lived with my father dying and all the pain and everything else is coming on me. Now the fear, the dread, the foreboding, the all right. Who did that? Nobody. I ate something I'm allergic to, and it's inflamed. No, the thalamus acted. It hijacked all reason. It didn't listen to God. It didn't listen to the fact my father was not born again. It didn't listen to the fact that God can alter genetics. It didn't listen to my pastor who said you shall live and not die, and this won't take your life, and you're going to live a long time. It hijacked all the part of my brain that has the reason that is right, that will make the correct decisions for my life to give me a healthy, wonderful lifestyle with peace and comfort in my spirit, but rather hijacked the information, kept it itself, reacted. And here I am sitting there in the doctor's office, sweating with depression and want to give up life. Because I just don't want to go through that again. I'm suffering all the pain and all the things that I went through with somebody else in my own flesh with no reason at all. For no reason at all. For no reason at all. For no reason at all. People have problem with those that are in authority. Anything they say to correct, anything that you're doing, if they say go left when you say go right, that's a problem. Boom. Because it goes right back to all the 700 times that somebody abused you that was in authority. What does the thalamus do? Trouble, 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 fight or flight. So you're the type of person that finds that you do a whole lot better dealing with your problems by fighting than flighting. So there's some people that just shut down. Why haven't you talked to me for 3 days? They just shut down. They leave. I'm gone. Sorry. Not home. Or they just get in the car and they're gone. 8 hours later, they're back. Are you all right? Yeah, I'm over it. Some people don't take that 8-hour drive. They do it all in your face. for 8 hours. They just drive up and down your face. What's that? The thalamus hijacking the higher part of your mind and brain. The part that can choose the righteous way. The one that was programmed by God to get you into the right situation. Yes, I know that these people adjusted me. Yes, I know that they corrected me. Yes, I know they did it with abuse. Yes, I know that they hurt me. This guy is not hurting me. This is a godly man. This is a godly woman. They are giving me godly counsel. I will follow their counsel. Now, that's what your frontal cortex will tell you to do, because it's the one that has a hand in the command and control center to make you do it. It's the one that when the thalamus is kind enough to not hijack the information itself and react suddenly faster than you can stop it and hand the information to the frontal cortex, it reasons it out, thinks it out, sends all the messages down to your body and walks you across the room to smell that nice rose for a pleasant experience. It just goes easy. It's not that pleasant of an experience. It's not like the bank is waiting to give you $1 million. It would get you in a bigger hype by then, you know, because it's got it all controlled. Amen? Are you understanding this? Because when we get to how you can cure the thalamus by emptying its memory, that's what God does when he brings inner healing to people. He wipes out the memory of the thalamus so that you start with each experience as a new experience. Do you know that people with ADD are that way because their thalamus has controlled their life? So they get off in dream worlds. They go off in some other world. Let me tell you something about the thalamus. The thalamus doesn't know the first thing about reality. It doesn't know the first thing about truth. It doesn't know the first thing about right. It doesn't know the first thing about decent. All it knows is that it doesn't feel good, and it connects all my emotions and all my nerves, my bodies, my muscles, my everything. It connects it to past pain or past pleasure. If the thalamus is in control of your life, if you're in control with your animal emotions, instead of reaching up into your higher brain that God has given us to control our life, if the thalamus knows that that pleasure is too intense and it wants it, it will actually hijack the information from the rest of your mind, the one that knows right from wrong, the one God wrote in, thou shalt not kill. And it will hijack the information so that it doesn't get to the part of your mind that controls the moral issues in your life. It will hijack the information from the part, the amygdala, that can weigh the balances of punishment and consequences. It doesn't care. Later on, when he's sitting in prison for killing somebody because it wanted that pleasure so bad that the thalamus just went in a rage, killed a person, got whatever it needed, and oh, it's got a fix. But now he's got 40 years to think about it while he's sitting in prison. If the thalamus had not hijacked the information, the frontal cortex would have reached down into all the rest of the informants that's in our mind and said, wait, 40 years, no liberty, no this, no that, no nothing, and no drugs for 40 years. No drugs for 40 years. Thalamus, no drugs for 40 years. What? No drugs for 40 years. No intense pleasure for 40 years. Oh, well, I think I'll just chill out a little bit. Maybe I'll just steal a car and sell it instead of killing this guy. Are you understanding this? The thalamus is about to hijack your marriage because of the past pain that somebody did to you when you were a child and abandoned you or threw you out the window. Or a father that abused you, or someone that abused their authority with you, or someone that molested you, or someone that did something that kept it in there at such intense pain that when something happens like it, and someone says something like it, or looks at you cross-eyed somewhere or another, the last person that looked at me cross-eyed shot at me, and thank God I'm still alive. You look at me cross-eyed, I'm gone out of here, or I'll just kill you first. Well, what can I do about it? I'm emotional. Let me take you to today's service. Most of us are waiting until we really feel like praise, until this pastor works up the service to a high pitch to where it's just like stepping in from earth to glory, like the song says, from earth to glory, just one step. Now, when you have to take a whole hike through the wilderness for 2 or 3 miles to get there, that's a different story. We're lazy. Amen? Okay. So our thalamus wasn't helping us praise God at all. Our frontal cortex was telling us, because it's programmed by God's word and godly counsel, that to praise the Lord is good because he shows favor to those that praise the Lord. So it goes and reaches into the bank and says, what's in it for me? And the bank says, there's a lot in it for you. There's favor from God for you. In times of trouble, he will keep you. In times of need, he will provide. In times of this or that. And it makes God smile. And here's what happens when he frowns. And it puts all that together real quick. And next thing I know, this mouth is opening up. This throat is tightening up. Air is pushing out. And I'm saying, praise the Lord, everybody. Not because I felt like it. Not because my thalamus felt good. Not because it said it's a pleasant experience. Although that could happen. But because I know that it's a commandment of the Lord, and if I obey it, then the feelings will follow. Do you know how hard it is to start praying? The thalamus has that one all figured out. The pain in the knees, the fighting with sleep, the no answers from God, the no voice that says, I'm listening to you. You just said, dear Jesus, I'm already here, son. So recorded that. You could pray for a month and not get an answer. Why bother? It's hijacking my frontal cortex and all the beautiful things God put in there. God says, pray without ceasing. Every time you pray, God makes the answer. He puts it up there in catalogs and says, let's just see how bad they want it. God answers it every time you ask him on the first round. Do we get it on the first round? No. Did he make the answer and provide it? Yes. The first time you ask, he made it, provided it, and kept it up there waiting. Why? Because he wants to develop our patience. He wants to develop our faith. He wants to develop a whole lot of goodies in our life. If you will hang in there and keep praying. Keep praying. Does it feel good? Not at first. But what happens halfway through your prayer when the presence of the Lord comes and fills that room? And you're just bawling, and the presence of Jesus is speaking to you. He's speaking life into you. Thalamus, why don't you record that? Keep that one in your memory. That's a pleasure button. That's a pleasure moment. Let's have more of this. Don't hijack this information. Amen? Do you know one thing that would heal us from being thalamus dominant? I call it this, a check valve. One time I was dealing with a person that was hopelessly bound by anger. They'd go off by you just looking at them. They'd go off if you walked into a room and didn't say good morning before they could say it. They'd go off over anything. When I mean they'd go off, I mean they'd go silly off. To the point where you wonder whether you're going to lose your life because you didn't say good morning when you walked in their store. I'm talking about a guy that had a serious problem. Came to me one day and said, Robert, how can I overcome this? It was a person that I knew. I said, well, the first thing you're going to have to do is develop a check valve because your thalamus has hijacked everything you've got and it's just acting. In his case, fight. Anything would set him off. Because the guy that killed his mother didn't say good morning before he came in the house, so now everybody that doesn't say good morning is a problem. I said, put a check valve. He said, what's that? I said, count to 30 and then react. There's something about the thalamus. It only has about a 20-second delay. It's got to go off immediately or it can't go off. Because by then, the frontal cortex has the information. And it takes control. It goes down to command and control centers and says, wait, hold on every command coming in here. We've got a plane that needs to come down here that's in trouble. Hold all other flights circling out there. Count to 30. Well, he said, the first time I implemented, I got to 4 and went off. I said, that's all right. That's good. You're doing great. Come back in a week and tell me you're up to 5 or 6. They did. By the time they got to 30, 6 months down the line, their problem was half over. They could actually control. Why? Because it didn't let the thalamus go off and react. It let the information reach the higher part of our mind that God programmed with great information and great software and that can reach down into higher places of our mind, plus lay hold of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me right here. I need some help right now. You see, that's the higher part of our mind, but we are reacting. If someone didn't say, you know, some people will come to me for information, for example, or for counsel. And if I should give them the wrong kind of counsel, if I give them what they're not wanting to hear, they're off. They're gone. You know, sorry. And you know what the typical answer to their own mind and to anybody else's there to listen? He doesn't understand me. He just doesn't understand. He just doesn't understand. Mr. Thalamus, I don't understand. Mrs. Thalamus, I don't understand. Mr. Frontal Cortex, I understand. I'm giving you the high counsel, which if followed, will lead you to a life of victory, of peace, of glory, of well-being, and of delight and pleasures at the right hand of God the Father. No, I don't understand your thalamus. Yes, I do understand your frontal cortex. I can only meet you in your frontal cortex. God will not let me meet you in your thalamus because your thalamus is too mixed up with past pain. Your thalamus goes back to the time you were born because you were a breech baby and killed your mother. So you're a murderer to your own mind. Well, God Almighty, how could I meet you with you on your thalamus basis? I can't. I've got to meet you on a basis where I don't understand you. But you've got to trust people, which is the second evaluation. The first one is a check valve, count to 30. That messes up the thalamus every time because the thalamus has to get your reaction out of your mouth faster than the other person could have said what they were going to say because it's anticipating the problem before it happens. And you know that 90% of the time, the thalamus is wrong. Why? Because the thalamus doesn't know what reality is. It doesn't know what truth is. You know what it does? It has what is called perception. The reason God put it in our mind is perception. You're perceiving. Let's say that four people are walking down the road and your wife says to you, let's suppose you're a man here, or your husband says to you, if you're, or your friend that's walking with you, or your brother or sister is walking with you, or your little child is walking with you, taps you on the side and says, did you see that guy over there? Now, that person's had an encounter with people that look like that, walk like that, talk like that, and sort of like look funny when they were walking, you know? Now your thalamus is hyperactive. It's like, we're troubled. Did you notice that guy over there? That long-haired guy with knots in his ponytail? That's just like the guy that killed my dad. Well, heck, he might be. But let me give you something from my frontal cortex. God said, He will keep me in all my going out and in all my coming in. And I'm going to walk right through the middle of them, and I don't care if they're hell's angels or who they are. God said, I will keep you in all your ways until I bring you home and to your whore hairs. And I don't have whore hairs, a few. That means white hair. So I got to have a whole head of white hair. So this guy is not going to trouble me. But the thalamus over here is saying, did you see those guys? Did you see how they're walking? Keep an eye on. Are you aware of your surroundings? What's all this? Perception. Perception. 90% of all perception is wrong. This guy that's correcting you is not going to harm you. He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to do what the other person did to you. He is not going to violate you. He's not going to do anything like that. He's just this poor, unsuspecting person that happened to be put in the right place to correct you on some given thing, and that was it. Perception said, but perception isn't reality. The frontal cortex has reality. It walks in reality. It's the man that's standing straight. It's the one that can think straight. It's the one that has reality. No, this isn't real. I don't care what it feels like. This isn't real. No, but this is like, I don't care what you're saying. This isn't real. It's not real. You say, well, we better do this. Why? Because we're in trouble if we don't. What's that? Lie. Because dad's going to spank you. And boy, if those things hurt. So before the thalamus can hand the information to the frontal cortex that knows that telling the truth is better because it's walking in the truth and in the reality of the thing, the other guy, the thalamus, is trying to get you out of being again, actually does that for you. Because before you can open your mouth and have the frontal cortex move it, the thalamus is moving it. No, Daddy, I didn't do it. So the very thing that it was trying to avoid, Job said, the very things I fear came upon me. So what do? They ask for trouble. It's like people that always marry the wrong guy. It's like people that always go away from the right woman. It's like the people that always have the same trouble over and over and over. You know what they are? Thalamus dominant. That means that there's a part of you that God put there that's a good thing, so it can perceive things, know things, but it can never be in control. The command and control center is somewhere else. It's in your spirit and in your heart that makes the decisions of your life. And when we go off emotionally, and when we think that nobody understands us, and we think that, you know what, I'm being hurt by what you're saying, or I'm not getting enough out of you, or you should be giving more to me, you're not meeting my needs, you're not satisfying my needs as a daughter, you're not satisfying my needs for a daughter, so I need to get myself a daughter, so I'm just going to adopt one. Right in your face. That's thalamus at its best. Frontal cortex says, thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful daughter. And we might have had a disagreement yesterday or day before, or we might have a disagreement right now. It doesn't matter. We've had so many wonderful times, we're going to continue having them, no matter about the disagreement. That's the frontal cortex. That's the one says, God said, I will give you children as a favor. When the righteous, I want to do them a favor, I give them a quiver full of them. And I give them children upon whom the anointing that's on you will pass down on them from generation to generation. And the spirit that's on you will not depart from them all the days of their life. And I will teach them as I have taught you. And the word goes on and on now. I'm talking to you out of frontal cortex here. The one that the word of God's instilled in. The one that can make righteous decision. It's a judge that's sitting on the bench that's making righteous judgment. Because the other judge, the one that is a fool, that's sitting up there that just didn't like the color of the guy's hair, so he gave him 20 years and he didn't deserve it because basically 10 years later they found out the guy never did it. That's your thalamus. Thank God for a thalamus because we have to live down here on earth and we have to go by feeling. And if your hand's over a fire, you need to remove it. You know, thank God for a thalamus. I'm not just talking down on the thalamus. I'm just saying that if you allow your life to be lived by your thalamus and by your emotions, you can't live a life free like you're looking for. Many of you are looking for a life free from all these bondages that we have. A lot of these bondages are thalamus orientated. Do you know that most people that have problem with drugs, with alcohol, or with any of these things are thalamus dominant? You have to get to the place where you rise above that thalamus, erase this memory. How do we erase our memory? First, count. When the thalamus is saying, oh, do you remember this smell? And puts the smell of wine by your nose or puts the feeling or the taste in your mouth. Anything that has to do with smell, sight, touch, taste is what? Thalamus. See, I don't live by bread alone. I don't live by my thalamus. I live by every word that comes from the mouth of God, my frontal cortex. Interesting, isn't it? I word by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He spoke it. That's it. Then he said, but aren't you feeling hungry? I may. I've been going 40 days without eating. Anybody can feel hungry then. So he said, well, why don't you turn this into bread? Devil, I don't live by my thalamus. Now I want to show you something. Every time you make a choice to live by the higher part of your computer software that God gave you. That's why it's so important to input software, something in the software. And you choose to go by that instead of the others. Well, I don't feel. You need to trash that whole idea of feeling out of your life. Because everyone that has a disastrous life on earth is the one going by feeling. Is the one that the thalamus is hijacking all the information and making you react in all kinds of ways. God, I'm dying of cancer. I'm going, no, you're not. Who said? Well, I feel the same way my uncle did. And he, I don't care what you feel like. Thalamus, give me that information. It belongs to me. I've got five other buddies created by God beside me to stand beside me, the pillars of righteous judgment and decision in my life. No, this is right. No, this is wrong. No, this is right. No, this is wrong. I am not going to react because somebody's hurting me or doesn't understand me. That's my thalamus. Thalamus, you don't know what the truth is. You don't know what reality is. I'm going to walk up into a higher state that God gave me. Folks, if you're ever in trouble, if you're ever in a place where you feel like you're going to yield to some temptation or do something that's wrong, that's your thalamus connecting to all the good pleasures of life and all the things that will connect you to this life and eventually take you to hell. God is trying to ask us to move up into another part of our state and move up into a part of our state of rights judgment. And when yours is sabotaged, when your thalamus is sabotaged, yours go to someone that has theirs intact and will give you godly counsel and righteous counsel, because that brings me to the other way. When somebody gives you righteous counsel and you choose to walk by it and deny your thalamus what it's asking you for, because I'm not loved enough, I'm not cherished enough, nobody talked to me enough day, or whatever it is, and you choose to go by their righteous counsel instead of what the thalamus is giving you, you just erased its memory bank. You just took it away. When you bring your things to God, the frontal cortex is the only one that can take captive imaginations. That's perceptions. That's the thalamus work, outcome, fruit, thalamus fruit. It can take strongholds and imaginations and bring it into captivity to Jesus Christ, your frontal cortex. If you are going to live by your emotions, you cannot come to that place of total deliverance. What denies? Jesus said, take up your cross and deny your what? Yourself. What's yourself? Your five senses. What controls your five senses and what monitors your five senses? The thalamus, the part of your brain that wants to feel, that wants to touch, that wants to see, that wants to have another sexual moment, that wants to have another pleasure moment, whether it's through eating or gluttony or whatever it is. It will always get you in trouble. We need to begin to stand with our frontal cortex and hijack the thalamus and say, no, no, no. And let the frontal cortex take the perceptions, which are called imaginations in our King James, and strongholds. What are strongholds? It means a memory bank full of a bunch of memories that look right alike, one after another after another. And you are convinced that this is the truth because I have felt this too many times, so this is the truth. No, it isn't. That's a perception of the truth. Somebody else really hurt me 10 years ago when they said what you're just saying. So now I've got to react to what you're saying. So I go off on you. Or I just close down for a week and I don't talk to you. I'm reading the newspaper. I can't see you. We live together, but we do. You wouldn't know it. You'd think just one person lived in the home. Why? My thalamus just shut down. Trouble, 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 trouble. Pull the plug. Honey, you need to get that plug, plug it in the wall again, go into your high computer, and you need to quit using the keyboard and mouse and everything else. You need to call on the Lord your God in time of trouble. He said, I am a God that's present in time of trouble. Call on me, and I will see you. If you have a flood of water coming over you, call on the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord will rise up against him in a heartbeat, and he will cover you, and in that moment, he will help you. He will help you overcome that trouble. Why? Because the thalamus is saying, this is reality, this is reality, this is reality, but it's just an imagination. It's a stronghold because so many things have happened like it. It's a stronghold. Whereas the frontal cortex says, no, I don't care if that's reality. I'm the only one that has reality. The only one that has the truth is Jesus. God didn't say I was going to die when I was 50. He said I was going to live till I had all white hair. God didn't say that I was going to live sick and wouldn't be able to finish his plan. He has prophesied to me over and over and over and over that I'd be traveling the world and doing God's will. God didn't say to me that I'd have a ruined life. God spoke to me that I have life and life abundantly. So I'm going to make a decision based on what God said. I'm going to base a decision of my life based on all these things because there's a part of my brain that tells me that the consequences is I'm going to lose my family, I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to lose my health, I'm going to lose everything. I'm not going to let you hijack this. I'm going to take your imaginations and your imaginaries and I'm going to take your perceptions and I'm going to bring them to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm going to bring them into captivity, close them in a prison because you're not putting me in one. That's what it means to crucify your flesh and deny yourself. You know, the King James isn't too eloquent, but I'm a little bit better. We need to deny ourselves. Some of you are going to lose your life. You're going to lose your health. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your well-being because you won't deny yourself. Deny the thalamus. I don't care what happened to you in life. We need to erase all that. We need to get rid of all that. And one of the ways is to make a baby step toward doing what God wants us to do and live by the higher life and deny yourself. Let me tell you something about the thalamus. The thalamus is very ego-centered. It's all about me. I'm not getting enough out of this marriage. I'm not getting enough about our relationship as a church and pastor. I'm not getting enough out of this, so I'm leaving. Bye. That's the thalamus. It's all about me. Do you know why people don't understand you? Because they're not talking to you on your language. They're not talking to you thalamus language. Thalamus language is all about me. What's in it for me? How good is this? I'm not coming to the church. All I got to do is give offerings. I want something out of it. It's all about me. The frontal cortex, on the other hand, says it's all about God. God gave me this body to serve him. God gave me this body to be a blessing. God gave me this body to feed the poor. God gave me this body to be, and these brains that work, to be able to have an excellent job to help these people. See, all that is righteous. All that is correct. All that is great. The other hijacks anything that's great and ruins your life. Because it says, this is the real, this is real. No, it isn't. This is just a perception. How do we know when we're in the frontal cortex? Let me tell you this. All the programs of your thalamus is made by your senses, by your earthly life. Your frontal cortex is programmed by the times you read the Bible, listen to messages that are being preached, listen to God's word. It's programmed by a higher law. That's why the thalamus doesn't want the frontal cortex to have the information, because it knows if it does, it's going to hijack it. So what did Jesus say? Deny yourself. You have to deny the thalamus to give you what it wants and find the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Some people are saying, well, I want to know how to be free already. I'm telling you, believe godly counsel. Believe those words that God spoke to you when you weren't in trouble, and quit reacting. Deny your thalamus its way. Deny your earthly life, your appetites, your flesh, your lusts. Deny them away and let your frontal cortex lead you out to total victory in your life, and watch how God restores your life. Simple. Just as simple as I can make it. God knows that some of us are in trouble, and he says, I'm going to make one last effort to put it right down to earth where a child in school can understand, so that you can come out. You have to know the truth. What I am telling you is that what you have as your standard of truth is just a perception, because a thalamus can't know what truth is. Thalamus doesn't know what reality is. Reality has nothing to do with a perception. They're strongholds. Let me show you what Paul said. Paul said it differently. He said that we are to cast down arguments or strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity and to obedience of Christ, in 2 Corinthians 10:5. From the perspective of how the brain works, this means that we are to bring captive the decisions that the thalamus makes and line them up with the truth of God's word. God's word also says that we are to think on whatsoever things are what? True. You know why most of us are in trouble? Because the thalamus doesn't know truth. It just knows what it perceives to be the truth. Most times, wrong. Think on these things, truth. Only the frontal cortex can do that. Do you realize that when you start, well, let's just give them to you real quick and then we'll move on. Philippians 4:8. It says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, of the virtue showing any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, let me tell you something about it. Do you know why I said put a time delay in there, a check valve? Because you have time to think about it. When you have time to meditate on something, no matter how bad something looks in your situation, let's say you're having an argument with somebody you love, whoever that person is, a friend or wife, husband, whatever, friend, child. When you're having an argument with that person, if you just sit and meditate for just a little bit, is that something good? No. Is it a good report? No. It's not worthy of thinking of. Why should I input more information in my thalamus when my thalamus is already hijacking my life? No. I'm going to deny it. I don't care what argument we have. Tomorrow we'll be making up. Tomorrow we'll be best friends. My thalamus is telling me, yeah, but my father, he was such a controlling figure. He was just so rough. He was a perfectionist, my father was. My father, he's a perfectionist. He's just, you know, he just drove us all crazy. And so now 40 years later, I'm just a victim, you know. I'm just so... The truth is this, that sometimes we need to realize that there is help, but the help is right here where you can have it. This is what I want to show you. That's the greatest revelation that ever came to me when the Lord was revealing some of these things and I was reading in science and everything else. I realized it's not people. It's not what they do. Do you know that God likes beautiful? He doesn't like ugly. So all the ugly things in our life, he wipes out because he wants all the beautiful scenes in there. He wants all the night times you helped somebody, all the times you were kind to somebody, all the times you chose to love instead of hate, all the times you denied yourself instead of going for it, all the times you counted till 30 instead of going off in somebody's face because you just put up with this pain anymore. When I discovered that the answer was in me and I could do something with it, finally I found the answer, because up till then I thought everybody else had my answer. I'm fulfilled because he fills my life and because I fill it up with things that are worthwhile, things I like to do. things I enjoy doing, countries I enjoy traveling to, moments I enjoy being with you here. I'm enjoying life. Yes, there has been a lot of stuff that I needed to go back to my thalamus and said, Mr. Thalamus, I'm not going to live by what you say anymore, and I'm going to refuse to let you go off on me. So I'm going to count 30 every time, so you might as well just give it up. What's happening? My frontal cortex is taken over. The higher part of my being is taken over. They that live by the Spirit shall live. Those that live by the flesh, those that are governed by the thalamus shall die. Think about it. Think about that. Think about the fact that we have the answer in our hands. It's your problem. And it's your answer. You've got the answer in your hands. He said, take down all the strongholds and start thinking of everything that's pure, right, and holy. Listen, if we just took this list and you did nothing but think that way toward me, I'd be the greatest pastor you've ever had in your life within 1 month. If you did that to this wife or husband that's aggravating you to death, you'd have the best husband you've ever had and the best wife you could have ever. You'd start thanking God for the wonderful person you have by your side. When the month before, you'd have thrown him in a trash can and locked it down. Let him die slowly. Refuse to think on anything that's not true. Refuse to think on everything that's not right. Refuse to think on anything that's not good. Think only on the good things. The next thing you know, you'll be in love. Folks, if we don't start putting things into action, life isn't going to come to us. We have to go to it. If you want to live the way you are and ruin your life, then let your thalamus keep ruining it. But God today is giving you an answer. God is saying to you, you can walk out of this because you have the control. You can take your imaginary, your perceptions, and take them into captivity and let Christ take over. Take the front part of your mind that God has governed. The one you've put the word in, the one you've listened to thousands of messages. Do you think you're gone just because I ask you next Sunday what I preached on this Sunday and you can't remember? No. That's just the outward memory banks that will perish. But there's an inward memory bank. The words that you have put within your heart are still within your heart. They're going to heaven with you. The word of God is part of you. It's in there. And if we deny ourselves, if we deny the part of our natural life and live in the Spirit, live by our higher mind, you will come right out of your problem. Within just a few months, you'll be totally free without anybody praying for you, without falling out, and without some ray of bold light coming out of heaven and knocking you out. You'll be totally free. Totally free. Fulfilled and satisfied in the relationship that you're in, whether it's a brother, a sister, a friend, uncle, aunt, or spouse, whatever it is. It's almost hard to believe, isn't it? But it's believable. Boy, I would have loved to take you on the journey that I was this weekend when I was reading all the scientific reports of what makes a Hitler or what makes a Mother Teresa and the parts of the brain and how one acts on the other and how it has to do with the choices that they made in life. I'm talking only about one choice, a very important one, deny yourself. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to have a life of glory on this earth, a little bit of heaven on earth, then make this choice. Deny yourself. Deny the thalamus. You know what destroys most of God's work in our life? By faith, that we go by what we see. We go by sight. That's the thalamus. We go by how we feel. God, I'm still sick. My circumstances haven't changed. That's the thalamus. Some of us need brain surgery, I think. You just go to a brain surgeon, would you remove my thalamus? I'm serious. Jesus said you can deny that part of your life, but you have to do it. Deny that part of your life. The part that wants sex with whoever, the one that wants whatever pleasure just to feel that thing again, whatever it is, deny it. That's all God's saying. If you deny it a few times, the thalamus will get the picture that I'm not going by what it says. He can gather all the information he wants, but we're not going on that. We're not using it. You can write all the books you want, but I'm not reading them. Do you know all kinds of weird, perverted books out there? I don't read them. I don't care how many books there are in our world. Well, our world is getting heavy. It's tipping sideways. I don't care. I don't read them. Doesn't affect me. I deny myself that reading. I deny my stuff on the internet. I deny myself the other things. Am I better than anybody else? No. If I don't deny this little sucker, it'll hijack my life. A little moment of pleasure and my life's hijacked. No, I'm going to bring captivity, those things that look and appear as real but are not, they're imaginary, they're perceptions, and bring the truth to bear. And when I bring the truth to bear, it will make me free. And it doesn't say it will set you free, because set means immediately. Make means with a process. You keep denying, you keep getting free until someday you're totally free from this because you've denied it. It only takes denying the next drink. It only takes denying the next shot. It only takes denying the next little moment of sex. It only takes denying this thought that comes through your mind that makes you hate the person you're supposed to love. It only takes denying one little thing at a time. That's all. Deny it. And after a while it thinks, oh, well, I'm not in control anymore. I guess not. If you're ruled by the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But if you're ruled by the Spirit and you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Folks, it's all about choices. Do you realize how wonderful it was when I realized that not only was it my problem, but that I could fix it? I can fix what's mine, but I can't fix what's yours. Amen? I can fix what's mine. Every time the devil comes and tells me I'm going to die just the same way somebody else did, sorry, that's a perception. The truth is, God said this. The truth is that I went to a godly counselor and they told me this. Well, I didn't like what they told me because my thalamus didn't like it. They didn't get in touch with my feelings. In fact, they hurt my feelings. Thalamus? You know what that means? I'm putting my heel on the ground and I'm just moving it like you'd squish a worm. Think of the thalamus down there. Thalamus? Die. Oh, you hurt my feelings. No, you gave me a way to life. You opened the path of life. God says, I put before you life and death. Choose life. Where's that choice made, folks? Right here. Right here. It's either back here or it's up here. Let me ask you, do you want a life that's going to continue on toward messing up, or do you want to walk out into life? Whether it's your finances, whether it's your health, whether it's your family, whether it's your marriage, whatever it is, do you want victory at the end, or do you want to keep living a life of misery and pain and nobody understands me and give over and suck on lemons of self-pity? Because anytime you live in the thalamus world, that's devil world. He loves that world. He throws all his temptations in the world of your thalamus. Why should he bother with the other one that can think? Here, mess your life up. Let me think about that. Here, live 40 years in prison. Let me think about that. Let me go down to prison and ask those guys how happy they are down there. How many years have you been in? 35? Okay. How have you liked it? Is it nice in here? You haven't liked it at all? Let's see. Okay, I got that bit of data. God, if I go that route, what's going to happen to me? Hell. No hell. I'm going to make a choice here. No hell. Did you see what happened with the check valve with just a little time for the frontal cortex to think about it? Count to 30. Think about it. Because it's got everything it needs in its software to program you to have a life from heaven and not hell on earth. We choose daily. God has put this down so clear. There's a part of our mind that we are allowing to run our life when God says, deny it. Deny it. It's going to ruin you. If you live that way and you live after the flesh, it's going to kill you. This is the part that's connected to all your senses. I don't feel good. Who cares? Do you know how many times the thalamus would have hijacked services for me and I wouldn't have made it here? Man, I feel terrible. That's good. But my frontal cortex is telling me I'm going to church anyway. God's grace is sufficient. He didn't say it would last an hour after service, but sufficient. Do you know how many beautiful services that had your earmark on it and a word from God that you missed because your thalamus was being messed up by the devil? You let your feelings get involved? Sometimes it doesn't take much for some Christians than just, I feel too tired. Go to service and tell the pastor, I'm here, but I felt so tired I didn't want to be here. Oh, I got good news for you. My frontal cortex is telling me that the joy of the Lord is your strength. We're going to start with a few joy services. I'm going to take you by the hands. We're going to dance up here. We're going to be happy. Well, Pastor, I don't feel to do that. Did you say you were exhausted? Yes. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Frontal cortex is telling me if you can let me get you happy, you got a deal. What do you want? To feel that way? That's what your thalamus wants you to feel. Enter into that anointing. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the strength of the Lord. People, let's hijack our thalamus. Deny ourself. Thalamus is all about itself. Oh, you're not understanding me. I don't want to. I want to set you free. Do you want freedom or do you want to suck on a lemon? Do you want a ruined life, a failed marriage? Do you want a failed life? Do you want to be in prison 40 years or do you want to be set free? Free. Do you know what God really understands? The truth, because he is truth. He doesn't go by perceptions, because perceptions are lies, most of them. Why should he go by a lie? He wants to go by truth. The truth is, you're not your mother, you're not your dad. This guy's correcting you is not the guy that did it before that half killed you. The truth is that God declared that this person can make you happier than anybody else in the world. The truth is that God said he would set you free and you would never be bound to anything in your life again. The truth is that whatever sins you've sinned, he's washed and made you clean. And you don't have to have a sense of shame and a sense of guilt and a sense of all that stuff that the thalamus is the one hijacking your life with to make you feel miserable. Deny all that and think on what's true, holy, pure, and good and of good report, and you'll be up and going in a short time. There's one thing I can't do for you. I can't make you make that 4-inch trip between your thalamus and your frontal cortex. Only you can make that walk. I can take you right down to where you have to go. Some people say, well, how do you know if you know if you're acting in the flesh? You know if something somebody said didn't like that and you're just going off on them? You know when something doesn't feel good inside? You know when you have an attitude toward that person and you're wide open to being offended toward them because of something they did or said or whatever? You know what it is. You know when you're in the flesh. You know when your thalamus dominant. You know when you're perceiving something and try to avoid it before it ever happened. You know when you're distant and somebody talks to you and you don't even know what they said because you're ADD'd from all the pain that you've lived in your life. I said, God, I'm going to learn to make that journey, that 4-inch journey or 3-inch journey in my mind and deny myself and be your disciple and listen to you no matter how much it seems like it hurts, because the truth will make me free. How many want to be free? So no more waiting for bolts of light to come out of heaven. No more waiting for somebody to help you. No more waiting for somebody to sit down and listen to all your woe problems. I refuse to let all these feelings and sight and things that are earthbound. I want the sight of faith. What did God say was right or wrong? And the Holy Spirit rules in the higher place of our mind. That's why it says, have the mind of Christ. He wants us to renew our mind by the Holy Ghost. Do you know when he renews you, he washes all that thalamus stuff away? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.